Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Today we're chatting about Instagram and how to create more engaging posts.
Hey Laura, how are you going?
I'm good. Today our kids went back to school and it's just different, isn't it?
It's great.
Different's probably the nice way of putting it. It's quiet and I'm feeling like I can get stuck back into the art business. The last month or so has been fabulous. I've been traveling a lot, but I am ready for some routine and steady rhythms. I think both of our kids were very much ready and quite excited in their own ways to head off to school and, you know, get back with their friends.
Yeah,
and
it's
hang
gonna be
out.
Great.
But yeah, I was thinking about as I walked home from school, so I dropped Asher off this morning and I knew we were going to be recording a podcast today, but I'm feeling fabulously unprepared and still slightly in holiday mode. I haven't quite kicked back in. So I was thinking about what should we chat about. I was kind of drawing a bit of a blank because I haven't been working that much, haven't really been painting that much. I've just been doing other things. And as much as I think I might like to chat about my holidays, I'm sure there's something more interesting that we could talk about for everyone listening. What came to me was that towards the end of this month, when we were away, so we were at a beach house and just having a bit of family time, I did start to play around with Instagram again. So I found that I had enough time, free time, to do some Instagram posting. So that was my way of kind of gently getting back into work mode. I thought that being the beginning of the year, it's probably a good time to revisit Instagram as a topic. We've chatted about it various, you know, times on the podcast. And what I wanted to focus on the most, because I think this is what makes a difference when it comes to Instagram, and that is how to write an engaging post, or I should say how to create an engaging post. Because if you can bring people into the conversation, it is going to create so much more activity around what you're doing. And while we were on holidays, there were two things that happened in relation to Instagram, for me anyway. One was that I hit 100,000 followers on Instagram. So that's a pretty big milestone.
It's huge.
And it's pretty mind-blowing. And I get asked quite often, how did that happen? Or, you know, why do you have so many Instagram followers? I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I do feel like storytelling is a very important component in it all. So that's what I want to touch on in today's conversation, is how you can weave more story, narrative, personal experience into your Instagram feed so that you stand out, because there is just more and more people coming onto Instagram and it's quite different to what it was when I first started. The other thing that happened while I was away was that I actually had the most engaging Instagram post that I've had in 2 years. So I went back and had a look at my analytics. There's a particular post that I did while I was on holidays that has blitzed everything else. So I'm going to chat about that post and some of the, I guess, elements to it. So before we get stuck into all of that, I wanted to share a review of the week. This one is a bit of a long one, but I wanted to read it all out because it's wonderful and we're very appreciative of it. So the review comes from Susan Williams, Fine Art, and that's Apple Podcasts in Canada. The review is a standout podcast. I learned of this podcast through a couple of other art podcasts and artists who highly recommended it and had such good things to say about it and about Laura. They were right. It is consistently so good. I have thoroughly enjoyed every single episode, many of which I've listened to more than once, and listening to the podcast has become something I always look forward to. Laura and Richie are so incredibly generous in sharing their experiences, thoughts, and insights about creating art, photography, videography, social media, running a successful art business, and everything that that entails. I have gained a great deal of practical knowledge and I am so very grateful for it. But aside from all of that goodness, it's really the two of them, their honesty and authenticity, their sweet relationship and dynamic, their funny and insightful conversation and communication, that makes this art and life podcast a real standout. Job well done, Laura and Richie. Much appreciated.
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't that? We are so, so appreciative of that review. Thank you very much, Susan Williams.
Yeah. Art and life.
Yeah, art and life.
Could change the name of the podcast. Okay, so you were talking about engaging posts. Now, if you were to say to me, like, let's say I'm on the outside, and you were to say to me, how would you go about making an engaging post? I would put writing good copy at the bottom of my list.
What I would say is that there is no formula to it, because it's interesting that you bring this up, because as I was thinking about this podcast, I went and had a look to see what my most engaging posts have been over the last 2 years. If you have an Instagram account and you have a business profile, you can go into the analytics and take a look at your engagement, and it will show you the number, you know, the most engaging posts. It'll also show you the posts that have had the most reach, that have reached the most people. So I had a look at that, and there is a mixture of posts in there. Some of them are very engaging as far as they have a longer caption with a bit of a story in it. There are other posts which it's almost all about the visual, the photo or the image. So there isn't a formula, but what I will say is that each of those posts provided enough information to tell a story, whether that be through a photograph that had suggestions of things that were going on as I was making art, enough for people to comment and wonder what's happening, a bit of a tease or that kind of thing, or it was an actual written post where I talked about maybe a challenge that I'd faced, or I asked for some feedback and advice. So those were the kinds of posts that, or they are the kinds of posts that are getting the most engagement. So it's not about necessarily you need to go all in with captions or all in with the photos. It's really about the story. What story are you telling in your post? My suggestion would be to take a look at what your most engaging posts have been. So you can look that up on Instagram, or if you are using one of those platforms like a scheduling tool such as Tailwind, Later, Planoly, those sorts of things, they have analytics that you can look at that will tell you which posts have been the most engaging, and see what's connecting with your audience, because that's going to give you the most valuable information as far as what your audience wants. But if you don't have a lot to look back on for, you know, if you're fairly new to Instagram, then I would be keeping an eye on some of the people that you follow and looking at what's connecting in your field and seeing what posts are getting a lot of comments and the style of post. And the main thing that you'll notice is that the posts have a call to action in them in some shape or form. They're asking their audience for some feedback, some support. Maybe they've got a carousel post with a couple of different options. Which one do you like more? Or they're sharing a story and saying, does anyone else feel like this? So there's that focus on continuing the conversation or encouraging some kind of action. It could even be that the post is asking someone to go deeper into that theme that you're talking about by maybe heading over to my stories. You might start the conversation on your feed and then say, if you want to see a little bit more, head on over to my stories, where you'll be able to see the process in more detail. So let me go back to the post that I mentioned at the beginning that's been the most engaging post I've had for the last 2 years, and I'll just share a bit about what that post was. So we were on holidays and I was doing a bit of painting on the porch of the holiday house that we were staying in. I have recently got a new tattoo. So when I was in Bali, it's my first tattoo. So when I was in Bali with my friend Dolene, we decided to go and get tattoos together, which was a wonderful experience. probably the easiest way to say this is I absolutely love flowers. So my garden brings me a lot of joy, and I had been doing a lot of research around different types of flowers, and I chose to have a wild rose flower for my tattoo. The reason for that is that I wanted to, when I look at it, for it to remind me to always stay a bit wild, like go on adventures, explore things. So I got the tattoo, and then when I was painting, I was looking at my arm and I was like, you know what, it'd be really cool to kind of bring some of that fine line work into my watercolors. So I was using the tattoo as an inspiration point, and I decided that I would bring in some fine line florals into my watercolor designs. I haven't done that in a while. I haven't been doing botanical work, and I've been focusing more on more abstract pieces. But it kind of brought me back to the beginning when I did do a lot of botanical work. And so I posted a piece, and the only caption on it was, "It was inevitable," with a flower emoji. This wasn't a long caption post, but in the image, there was the watercolors I'd been working on, my arm, which shows the new tattoo, some recent color palettes. There's quite a bit going on. The caption leaves quite a lot open to interpretation. So what was inevitable? Was it inevitable that I was going to get a tattoo? Or was it inevitable that I was going to go back to botanical art? Was it inevitable that the tattoo would flow into my art? Because I often use things that are immediately around me when I create. So I often look at things like the mug that I'm drinking out of or the dress that I'm wearing. I love to bring in the stuff that I really enjoy. You know, I chose that to put on my arm. I love it. So it makes perfect sense for me to start weaving some of that into my art. There wasn't a lot of writing, but the photograph was telling a story, and there's actually quite a lot of mystery to it. And so that's where I say there's no formula. I thought that my most engaging post would be one with a very strong call to action. So it would be something where I was asking a question, because that's generally what most of my engaging posts have. But this one didn't. It didn't have a question. "It was inevitable" caption actually brings up a lot of questions. So you can see that you can be quite creative. And I think we fall into a trap when we think that there is only one way to do something. You know, asking a question is such a powerful way to have an Instagram post that we need to ask a question in every post. I do not believe that at all. I think that we need to be creative, go with the flow, as well as using these tools and strategies, because otherwise things become not authentic. We lose the...
It's not organic.
Yeah, organic is probably the word. So there's a fine line with this. I think it's wonderful to go out and get all the information, and there is great resources about Instagram that you can read, great articles with tools, strategies, tips on how to improve your engagement. Don't ever forget about your own gut instinct. Ask a question when you genuinely want to know the answer. So,
can I ask you just real quickly?
Yeah.
Have any of your other really big engaging photographs, have they ever been like the generic flat lays that we do?
I'm just trying to think. I think there might have been one maybe, but it wouldn't be about just the photograph. It would be about the caption. So it was engaging because it wasn't just a snap, "This is what I'm up to today." It would have had some kind of question or something like that. It's interesting because sometimes I create a caption first and then I seek out a photograph to go with the caption. Or other times, like in the case of this one, the photograph comes first. The caption flows from whatever feeling that photograph gives me. And I think working in both those ways is a way of creating freshness and new ideas in your feed. And when I work from a caption, this is how it usually happens. I love to journal and write, and I will open up a note-taking app in my computer. So I use a desktop called Momentum, which keeps my desktop nice and clean and fresh and pretty, and it has a quote and all that. And one of the tools in it is just a very simple note-taking feature. So I'll click on that sometimes, cup of coffee or tea in the morning, and I will write a personal journal entry. It's not for Instagram. It's just a personal musing of how I'm feeling at the time. But sometimes what I then do is take that and I turn it into an Instagram post. So it's like writing a diary entry or a blog post and then sharing it with other people. So it's very personal. And then when I turn it into an Instagram post, I might ask people whether they are having similar feelings, or, you know, like I would bring them into the story and ask for their opinion. But it started from a very personal place. So that's how I write my Instagram captions, is that I separate it out. There's no photo at that point. It's just a writing exercise, just journaling about what's happening for me right now. I do that quite a bit. You know, if I'm facing a challenge, I'll just write about it. Now, some of them will never see Instagram. They'll stay in my personal journal. But some of them feel like they need to be shared. Then I'll take that and I'll put it into a longer form Instagram post. And I did one of these a while ago about being in a season of slowing down, and talked a little bit about making some decisions around not working on weekends and not necessarily responding to every DM or comment and things, because I wanted to spend time with my kids or read a book or, you know, go for a walk and that kind of thing. And then at the end of it, I just said something simple like, who else is in a season of slowing down? So it's about connecting your story with the story of others. So that is a powerful way to start an Instagram post. On other occasions, I create something and it feels magical in the moment. It's messy, there's swatches, there's brushes, and I look at it and I see beauty in all that chaotic art mess. And I'll say to you, even though you may be reluctant, I'll say, you got to come in here and take a photograph of this. And then you'll do your thing and you'll look at it from your unique perspective as a creative. So you'll see composition, you'll see a story, and you'll see where the light is, and you'll take a photo. And then I look at that, that then stimulates something in me, and that becomes the post. So there's two ways that it flows.
And the thing is, what I've been doing now is I've been giving you photographs knowing that Instagram allows you to tell a story better. So for example, we did the swatches the other day. I know that if you use Carousel, that I can take one all-encompassing image and then I can go in tight and get some detailed storytelling shots. Then it's up to you creatively if you decide to go with just a single shot or a carousel.
Yeah, I've been using carousels a bit more lately than I used to, and finding that they are a valuable way of encouraging this storytelling process, because you can start with a scene and then take people deeper into it. So you could show a finished piece, but then show some parts of the process, the lead up to it. Or in this case, we showed a full page of watercolor swatches and then showed some more close-ups so people could really see the colors in detail.
And read your notes.
And read my little tiny handwriting. You know, that's an example of a post that also has an engaging element, because I was sharing what I use, so providing information, then asking for some help, saying, I want to add a few more watercolors to my collection. What are your favorite? You know, can you share? Any help would be appreciated.
So who would have thought that you're an engaging post is a post where you invite engagement?
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's just as it, you know, as you say it. But there is a bit of a, you've got to get used to that way of communicating.
Are you kind of asking people who are listening to this, or letting people know, that you don't sit down on a Monday and say, okay, Tuesday is an Instagram day, I need all my ducks in a row so I can put my amazing post up? you don't do anything like that at all. You just go to your little notepad. You look at how you felt today. I know you do this because I know you. So it's pretty much every step is organic.
Yeah.
You're not forced about it. You don't force anything. You just allow it to go and you just feel your way through.
If I'm going to be totally honest, I have tried to categorize and put some kind of structure on.
I used to get so mad at you because you would force me, not force me. Yeah. You would force me to take photographs. And I would take the photographs, I'd give them to you, they'd be all technically sound. And then later on that evening, I'll go onto your Instagram to have a look and it's an iPhone photo that you took because you weren't feeling what I took for you. So I can attest to the organic
side of it. That's right. It's all about what I'm feeling on the day and how I want to communicate it. And I struggle with posting ahead of schedule and things like that. I do see the advantages of batching, scheduling posts into the future, but I just can't seem to roll in that way because I like to tell stories as they happen. What I prefer to do is to have a catalogue of images. So some of those images that you give me, I might not use on that day because I'm not feeling it, but I'll put them in my library because sometimes I write my caption and I then go out looking for an image and there's a perfect match. But the caption is what I'm feeling on that day. I have tried to set up schedules. I have tried to think about, okay, on a Monday I'm going to post tips and tricks and on a Wednesday I'm going to post a video and on a Friday I'm going to ask a question, and I have looked at that. I just find that too rigid. For me, what works best is knowing, having the education and knowing that these things all work and then doing it in a way that feels more organic on a day-by-day basis. Every now and then I might pre-schedule something, but on the whole, I do my Instagram posts on the day that they go out. Usually
sometimes on the spot.
Yeah, on the spot. And that's the way that I prefer to work. It's not the most efficient way, but it's the way that I feel most comfortable.
That's why there's very few progress shots on your Instagram.
I find taking photographs while I'm deep in the creative process very distracting. When I'm making art, I like to be focused on making art only. I don't go on my phone when I'm making art. I just put a podcast on or put music on and I create. Because of that, what we tend to do is take a photograph towards the end when I'm just wrapping up for the day, and then we'll take a photograph then. So that's about creative flow.
Obviously, when we talk about Instagram, you can't not talk about hashtags and all that kind of stuff. So do you still use hashtags? You do.
I do, but I change up my approach with the hashtags all the time. Sometimes I use up to the 30 that you can use. Sometimes I only use 3 or 4. On the whole, at the moment, I like to use just a small number, maybe about 10 to 15 hashtags.
Are they unique to that post?
Yes. So although I have got some hashtags that I just copy and paste, I have moved away from that, and my current kind of vibe with it is that I create the post, then I look at that post and I choose maybe 10 hashtags at that time. And again, this may not sound efficient, but what I try and do is to use the hashtags as part of the story. And this is different to what I've done in the past, where I just copy and paste a big chunk of hashtags into a comment, the first comment, or I put a whole lot of spaces and it's down the bottom. Now what I'm doing is deliberately picking hashtags that actually tie in with the story. And a great example of this is coming back to the wild rose photograph. And I'll link this, actually, the photograph in the podcast notes so that people can have a visual, or head on over to my Instagram, which is at Laura Horn Art, so you can see what I'm talking about. But in this particular photograph, the hashtags, and I don't actually have my phone with me, so I don't know them exactly, but it went something like wild rose tattoo, wild rose, watercolor art, Laura Horn art. I can't remember. There might have been something funny, you know, like what I try and do is tell people through my hashtags what I'm using, because I've had people come to me and say, is that watercolor? And then they read in the hashtags, oh, sorry, I didn't need to ask you that question because I can see in the hashtags you've written it's watercolor. So I try and actually provide a bit of information in the hashtags. Now, if you're using 30 hashtags, that information gets lost. But if you're only using a small number, people can look and see, oh, okay, it's abstract art. She's using watercolor. It's a wild rose design. It's Laura Horn art, so a branded hashtag. And then sometimes I'll just use something, you know, that could be flowers forever, or it could be artist struggles, or keeping it real, or something to do with the how I'm feeling at the time.
Yeah, I remember looking at a stand-up comedian's post, and it was like really funny. So I went into the comments to see what people were saying, because it was a funny post. And one of the comments I saw was, oh my God, the hashtags.
Yeah.
And then I went back up and the hashtags were unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, they were so funny.
Yeah, there is an opportunity there within your hashtags to engage with your audience. And this is something that I've noticed, is that you can use the hashtags to tell a little bit more of the story. Can't stop, won't stop. You know, when you're in that kind of manic, crazy mode, use that. So I try and use a mixture of popular hashtags with niche hashtags. Now, those hashtags, some of them are very popular, but if you come up with your own little ones, which I sometimes do, nobody uses them because they're probably quite lame. But
yeah, I was just about to say, throw in a couple of cringy ones.
You know, like a couple of your own little like sayings. So you're not going to get a lot of, what's the word? Like, you're not going to reach new audiences through that hashtag as such, but people might just smile, laugh. It connects the dots of the story together. So that's my current approach to hashtags. I'm sure that it's changed. You know, if you were to go back and listen to some of our Instagram podcast episodes from previous years, but that's the thing with Instagram, it's always changing. I'm using hashtags differently to what I was when I started. I actually want to get my phone now because I want to have a look in the last 10 posts how many of them were video. Should I do that?
Yeah.
Let's see. Hold on. So I've picked up my phone. If you have a business profile, when you click on the three horizontal lines up the top, you can click on insights. You don't have a business one, do you?
No. Is it easy to get a business one?
Yeah, I think so. I think you can just change it over to a business one. But anyway, do you have insights at all? Or is that just a business account? Okay. No. So anyway, on the insights, it'll give you the options of looking at your content, your activity, and your audience. So if you have a look at your content, and then it'll show your posts, and then you click on see all, and you can look at a 2-year time frame, a maximum of 2 years, and then you can click on, there's all these different things that you can look at. So you can look at which posts had the most follows, which posts had the most likes, and there's one option there for engagement. So if you click on that, I'm going to have a look now and see how many videos are in the top 10. Four of the posts that were in the top 10 are video.
The top 10
engagement, most engaged posts, there are 4 video posts, but there's still 6 that are photographs. Let's have a little look. So there's one of the posts, I was providing a lot of information about the supplies that I use, mm-hmm. and I also provided a call to action to a blog post that I had about all my favorite supplies. So that was one. Another one was I asked the question of whether or not you are a swatcher or whether you find your colors intuitively. So very much asking people to let me know how they approach their color palettes, which brings me to the point of the first line or two of your post is very important because that's what shows up in the mobile feed before you click on the show more.
Yeah.
And so with this particular post, the first line is, are you a swatcher or do you prefer finding your color palettes intuitively as you paint? So I'm getting straight to the point. And then if people are interested in that conversation, they can click on and read more. It's a longer post. I talk more about my process in it. So that was a good one. You know, the photograph links up directly with what I'm talking about. And that's another thing, because sometimes when you're struggling and you have, you have an idea, but you don't have the right photograph, you're kind of missing out on telling the whole story. Now, this next one is a big table where I have a whole lot of art laid out. And we've noticed this as a bit of a theme, that when I have quite a lot of pieces and it shows a sense of quantity or abundance, it just provides a feeling of, oh, wow, there's a lot going on, and it invites people in. But the interesting thing about this one was that the very first thing I wrote was, I did it, in capital letters with big exclamation marks. So it's straight away getting to something exciting. So that can be another way of engaging with people, is sharing your enthusiasm. Can't believe this happened. And then you go on and talk about it. This one was, it took me a year, but I finally added a selection of mixed media abstracts to my website. So again, very much getting to the point in that first 125 characters.
But even the first three words.
Yeah, and even the first three words are like getting attention, and that's what you need to do. But the funny thing is, I never really planned this. It's just something that I've noticed looking back on the posts of what's most engaging. I'm seeing some of these trends. Let's have another look here.
So you're just letting people know what you've kind of found out along the way.
Yes.
Like, this isn't a strategy. This is just what you do.
Yes, that's right. This is very much me just noticing what's been working for me, and everybody's going to have a different audience, a different experience. So it's not a strategy. It's not me saying you need to do this. It's just giving you some ideas and food for thought. We've also got a couple with a good old tape peel. I've heard that referred to as peel porn. Yeah, that's always popular.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's a very satisfying process when you tape down a piece of watercolor paper, paint it, and then you pull the tape up and you have that lovely white crisp border. So there's a couple of video posts that emphasize that process, and I talk about the tape. This is where getting to know your audience is important, because I know that people are very interested in what kind of tape I use, or what kind of paper I use, or watercolors, or that part of the process. So any posts that talk about color palettes, swatching, materials, those sorts of things are interesting, because many people that follow me are playing around with similar types of art and looking to learn or just get new tips and things that they can implement themselves. Let's have another look. And there's another one where I talk about a new online class that I'm developing, and I ask people, what would you love to learn? So a very, very specific question.
Yeah, that's a call to action,
yeah,
isn't it?
So yeah, a call to action. And then there's one where it's all about the photograph. So another one from the porch painting sessions while we're on holidays. All it says is, stealing moments while on holidays to paint on the porch. It had a carousel where you can see the table with all the art supplies, the beach towels hanging in the background. Again, it's about a feeling. So there's many different ways to approach this. But what I would say is that focus on telling a story, whether that's with words, images, or video. Look at it from a storytelling perspective and allow people in, allow them to get a bit of a sense of your personality, your style, what you're all about. I mean, we often show little glimpses of our cat in the back, you know, when I'm painting, or the backyard, like the garden, the Australian sort of environment that we're in, things like that. Like, let people see what mug you drink out of, the mess on your desk, show behind the scenes, you know, be open with your creative process. So you could create a beautiful flat lay and photograph the flat lay, but then share a photograph of all the mess that's actually around the flat lay. I've done this before where I stood up on a chair to take a photograph of my desk in a flat lay, and what I took was a photograph of me in my UGG boots with a hole in the toe standing on a table looking down, and I decided that that was kind of cute. So I shared that. I said, could have given you the fancy flat lay, but this is what it's really like when you're trying to take a photograph. So that's what I mean about the storytelling. Let people see you in what you do, and don't feel like you need to follow a formula. Well, I'm getting the wrap-up signal from Richie, which means that school pickup is about to happen. So that's it for this week, but I wanted to take a moment to remind you all that I am running a sale on my online class, Abstract Adventuring, this month. And so if you head on over to my website, laurahornart.com, and you go over to classes, you'll see the class Abstract Adventuring. It is an acrylic-based class with mixed media elements where you will learn how to approach painting an abstract series on paper. And the coupon code is JAN20, J-A-N-2-0, which will give you 20% off. Thanks everyone for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, there are a few things that we would love for you to do. First of all, make sure that you are subscribed to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. And if you are on iTunes, head on over and leave us a review. We love getting your comments and feedback. Don't forget to tell your friends, or you could share a story over on Instagram. All you need to do is take a screenshot of the podcast episode, tag me in it at Laura Horn Art, and share what it is that you enjoyed about it. These things only take a minute, and they help us to keep growing this podcast so we can continue bringing you new inspiration and fantastic guests each week.